How can you achieve and maintain business growth? Harvard Business School Executive Education is now accepting applications for a new program, Driving Profitable Growth. Taking place in Boston from October 25th through the 28th, this program focuses on business expansion and organizational growth strategies that can lead your company into the future. Learn more about this three-day program for senior leaders by visiting hbs.me/growth. That's hbs.me/growth.
You are Locked On Celtics, your daily Celtics podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team, every day. Hey there, and welcome back to the Locked On Celtics podcast here on the Locked On Podcast Network. We are the Rain and Jays, John Corrales, Jay King, Monday through Friday podcast, daily podcast for you. We are brought to you today by Mack Weldon. Mack Weldon, smart design, premium fabrics, simple shopping, great holiday gift, MackWeldon.com. So today, we're going to kind of look at where the Celtics are. They have now played 20 games, and they are in a really, really interesting position because you can look at these guys from a very positive perspective, a very negative perspective, a neutral perspective, and none of it would really be wrong. So let's just get to it. Jay, 20 games in. We're at the quarter pole, first turn of the season.
Yep.
Who are these guys?
They are about what we thought we were, I think, but in different ways. Okay, so we thought they were going to be a defensive powerhouse, right?
Right.
Well,
they're not.
Turns out they can't rebound well enough, and they're not forcing turnovers like they did last year. So the defensive powerhouse we thought was going to happen hasn't really materialized. And part of that is they're playing super small and trying to maximize offense more so than defense. And part of that is they just don't have a good rebounding team. They are getting shredded on the glass. And even though they've played a lot better defensively since Al Horford and Jay Crowder returned, it's still like they got shredded pretty badly by the Philadelphia 76ers the other night. And they gave up, like, the Sixers only had one turnover like the first 14 minutes of that game. That's not the Celtics of last year. And so they're different than we thought, but kind of similar ceiling wise. They're still on pace for just about 50 wins. Al Horford has changed the team in just about every way you'd expect. So I think they're kind of what we thought they were, but just in different ways. Like, they're more offensive minded. They're a much better 3-point shooting team, I think, than most people anticipated. And it's been a weird, it's a tough team to get a feel on because it feels like that this team has another level, doesn't it?
Absolutely. Absolutely. I think this is the time of year where we start to look at them and say, okay, 20 games is a nice little sample size. You've got basically almost 25% of the season. You're starting to see trends. But it doesn't really apply to these guys because so many key guys have been missing for so long that it's hard to really know what is real and what isn't. And I will say, I want to give credit to Chris Forsberg because he put out a piece on ESPNBoston.com, Celtics still a mystery after the first quarter of the season. And he did a lot of this breakdown that I'm going to kind of read out to you here. Here's the big thing here defensively. They were dead last, he says, in defensive rating, 112.3 on November 9th. But since then, they are seventh in defensive rating. So what happened November 9th? Well, guys started getting healthy. The guys are starting to come back. Crowder, Horford is playing again. And now these guys are starting to gel a little bit. They still have rebounding issues. Jay, you wrote a nice piece on the IT and D lineup. And I think that lineup might capture what our problems are with this team so far.
Because that's the lineup we were looking at to be the best lineup. That lineup was something that we were excited for. Thomas, Bradley, Smart, Horford, Crowder. Those guys going out there and just running amok and forcing a bunch of turnovers and playing at a super high pace and really just doing a lot of damage. And yeah, they're a little bit small, but they could overcome that. But they haven't played together enough. They haven't done a lot. And right now, that lineup that we were so excited for has ended up being one of their worst lineups. So I think they kind of capture where this team is, where offensively that lineup is their third best, but defensively it's their fourth worst. So, and that's not where we expected them to be. I think we kind of expected them to be sort of almost the opposite, not to those extremes, but without those, without Horford having played all for most of that first part of the season and Crowder being hobbled and Smart missing time. And look, even Bradley's shoulder and Olynyk, we don't mention Olynyk in that, but he missed a bunch of time. We're not even really at that full kind of sample size that we would normally be at this point in the season.
Yeah, and when you talk about that small lineup, and I'm talking about with that lineup. So, sorry, my phone just went off.
Turn your ringer down for the podcast, damn it, Jay.
Yeah. So when we were talking about the IT and D lineup, it's clear that Brad Stevens thought that was going to be one of his best lineups. Since Horford and Crowder got healthy, that has been the closing lineup in most halves. We saw it again against Philadelphia, and yeah, Isaiah Thomas went buck wild, scored 12 straight points, kept the Celtics from losing, but the Philadelphia 76ers were scoring right there with him. And you saw kind of like the play that defined that lineup, I thought, was Avery Bradley got cross-matched onto Dario Saric. Nobody helps in the post. There's a like 8-inch difference, and Saric gets an easy, easy layup to tie the game with 30 seconds left. Now, it didn't end up mattering because Thomas scored. Thomas is ridiculous. But that lineup has given up, right now, among all lineups with 35 minutes, that is the second worst defensive lineup in the entire NBA. Ugh. And you look at the defensive potential. Like there are four all defensive team candidates in that lineup. So the biggest issues right now have been horrible rebounding, and they're not forcing turnovers. And so they have. I think that there's a lot of potential in that. I still think there's potential in that lineup, and that's why Stevens keeps rolling it out there, and rolling it out there. They're gonna score a ton if they can just sharpen up a few things, start flying around defensively. And I think too, like Jay Crowder's ankle wasn't fully healthy. That is a huge part. When you're that small, you have to be able to fly around. And Crowder, when he came back, his ankle was still hobbled. He wasn't able to do that. So I think there are some extenuating circumstances there. And obviously that 36 minutes they've played is a tiny sample size. But when you look at what they've done with Isaiah Thomas, Avery Bradley, and Marcus Smart, they're giving up 112 points per 100 possessions, which is significantly worse than the worst defense in the NBA, like the worst team in the NBA defensively. So they're getting killed when those are three of their best players when they share the court. So they need to figure out a way to maximize those lineups, because really Stevens doesn't have too many other options. Like when he goes to the bench, if you go to Terry Rozier, you're still small, and you still have the same issues. If you go to Jaylen Brown, now you're really young. He's super raw. You've got some issues there. So it's not like you can go to Evan Turner and get bigger and stay like with veteran wisdom and experience and still have the ball handling and all that. There aren't really other options here. Like Stevens is going to have to play those lineups significant amount of the time. It's just they have to figure out how to get stops. They have to figure out how to get rebounds. And right now, that's been probably their biggest issue is when they play those three guards, they haven't been able to stop anyone.
Yeah, Brad seems going to have to figure out that lineup. But here's a lineup that
they were
guarantee
last year with those guys. Like
they were good.
They survived last year with those guys. Like they outscored teams with those guys in the court. So it's possible that they can turn this around. And I do think once they figure that out, then it's like right now they're playing well in spurts. Like their starting lineup will go on some great run, or their bench will come in and do some really nice things. But they just can't put it all together because they have those spurts every game where they're giving up a ton of points. And once that changes, if that changes, then they could really go on a little bit of a run.
Yeah, it's going to be tough for them because the schedule coming up is not great. But I'll tell you what is a winning lineup, since we're talking about lineups. The lineup of clothing available on MacWeldon.com.
I like that one. That was a little unorthodox segue there, but I liked it. It worked.
You like that one? MacWeldon. Look, here's the thing. Christmas, if you're celebrating Christmas, if you're looking to get gifts, or if you're celebrating other holidays where you give gifts, it's hard to buy gifts for like your dad or your brother, especially your dad, because no one knows what the hell to give your dad. Here's very simple. Go to MacWeldon.com, and you got a bunch of like underwear, shirts, hoodies, super comfortable stuff. They hooked me. They hooked Jay up. They gave us an opportunity to try some of their stuff out. And I love it. I know Jay is addicted to that MacWeldon hoodie.
My hoodie, I wear that so often. I wear that way too often.
I bought a few other things. I don't have the hoodie. I let Jay kind of do the hoodie thing. I bought some stuff. Like I bought the underwear. I bought a couple of t-shirts, the Pima shirts. They got some long sleeve stuff that's really comfortable. It's great to sleep in. But they have socks. I have some of their socks. They're stylish. They're comfortable. And it's great stuff. Smart design, premium fabrics, simple shopping. You go there. The more you buy, the bigger the discount. Every time you put something in your cart, you get another a bigger discount. And they do have some things like their silver line, which is naturally antimicrobial. So that means that it eliminates odor. So if you're active or the person you're buying the gift for is active, that's a great gift for them. And so look, it's still early December. You have time to buy a great gift, something that if you're a woman who's watching and you want to buy something for your husband or your boyfriend, if you're a guy, you want to buy something for your brother, your father, or domestic partner, you want to go to MacWeldon.com. And here's the thing. On top of all of the discounts they give you, we are giving you 20% off by using the promo code LOCELTICS at MacWeldon.com. That's M-A-C-K Weldon, W-E-L-D-O-N, MacWeldon.com. Use the promo code LOCELTICS to get 20% off on top of all the other stuff they give you. It's really easy. It's really comfortable. I'm wearing it. Jay's wearing it. We swear by it. So
I'm wearing cool. My socks and hoodie right now, and I feel so comfortable.
It's good. It's good stuff. It really is good stuff. And look, if you don't like it, I'm ending the read now, but if you don't like it, you can keep it and they'll still refund you. So it's really no risk. If you want to get the hoodie and if you want to go and buy something, you don't like it for some reason, just tell them. Their customer service is amazing. You get the money back. No questions asked. You get to keep it done. So
we have the best MacWeldon reads there are, by the way. There's nobody who has a better MacWeldon, a more convincing MacWeldon read.
It's true. Hey, when you're telling the truth, it's very easy to be convincing.
Yeah, we're big MacWeldon guys over here.
We're MacWeldon guys. So, all right, let's get back to these lineups here, because I think some of what we're experiencing is Brad Stevens kind of going through what he did last year and the year before. This is the time of year where I really feel like he wants to gather data. Like he wants to just say, all right, this isn't working. But instead of saying, this isn't working, let me get away from it, he just kind of lets it go for a little bit. So you can gather more data, get some more numbers, and figure
part
out.
Of it is he's trying to make it work because he knows, like, okay, those are three of our best players, those three guards. If we can make this work, if we can find a way to get stops and force turnovers and block out every once in a while, then then this can be a powerhouse lineup. But he doesn't want to go away from it right away. Like, it's way too early in the season to give up on lineups that have three of your best players. Even though they're getting shredded, even though they're giving up points basically whenever or usually when they go to those lineups, you can't go away from those lineups because those are three of your best players, and you have to try to at least try to make it work. Now, maybe if the sample size gets bigger and it continues, you go away from it, but you got to try it.
I don't even want to say three of their best players. Who's better than Thomas, Bradley, Smart, Crowder, and Horford? I mean,
I was just talking about the three guard lineups in general. Oh, but yeah, when they go to those five, I would say those are their five best players.
Yeah, but that group.
Although you could put a Linick in there.
Sure, I mean there's like a little bit of debate, but that should be those are their four or five best players. If you say it that way, that those are their four or five best players, then that covers basically everything. And it's weird to have a lineup of your four or five best players be so good in some respects and so bad in other respects, especially defensively, when Smart, Bradley, and Crowder are not only your three best defensive players, and Horford is actually your fourth best defensive player. But especially the first three are three of the better defensive players in the league. And Avery Bradley's a first team all defense guy who we were talking about as a potential defensive player of the year candidate. Granted, it was a little bit of an outside shot, but still, we're talking about three guys.
I think he was talking about himself mostly as a defensive player of the year candidate.
Sure, but I mean, look, if all three of those guys, if you said, hey, Crowder made the all defense team, like third team, or if Smart did, like, that wouldn't be shocking. We're talking about three really, really good individual defenders. Why can't they, along with Al Horford, who's a pretty good defender himself, and yeah, Isaiah Thomas, but Isaiah Thomas isn't a lazy defender. His any of his poor defense is because of his just physical shortcomings, but he's not lazy out there, so he can participate positionally and not kill you. Why are they such a bad defensive group together right now? I mean, I ran some of the numbers, and rebounding is like the big problem with them.
Yeah, rebounding. I think 55% of defensive rebounds, which is like 76, 77 is a reasonable rate, and they're at 55. So it's a super small sample size, but like they really have to fly around, and they have to gang rebound, and they have to hustle and scramble, and you have to be so sharp with that group, and they just haven't been sharp enough. There have been too many miscommunications. There have been times when they've gotten caught in switches and not given help. There have been times when they've double teamed and haven't rotated well enough. So there are just some holes right now in that group, and maybe it's just they haven't played a lot together. You know, I don't think we saw that too much during preseason. Brad Stevens gave a lot of those guys rest during preseason, which you want to do. It's a long preseason. But he didn't play that IT and D lineup very often in the preseason. Then Horford got hurt, and Smart was hurt at first, and Crowder was out for a while. So really, they've only played the last 8 or 9 games. And maybe they're just learning things and learning how to do it. And learning how to do it without, you know, having Evan Turner or Jared Sullinger. And last year, what's I think promising is that last year those four guys and Amir Johnson were a plus unit. And the issue to me, though, that unit was barely positive last year with Smart, Bradley, Thomas, Crowder, and Amir Johnson. It should be better with Al Horford. It should definitely be better, but how much better? To me, at some point Stevens is going to have to look at going big to end games, whether that's having Kelly Olynyk at the four and Al Horford at the five, or coming back with Amir Johnson and going with the starting lineup, which has really, really, really been good. So, I mean, at some point you're going to have to think of those decisions. But right now, as I said, I think Brad Stevens is trying to kind of force that group to learn how to play together and see what happens and see if they can figure it out.
Yeah, the difference is pretty stark. That group that we've been talking about is, well, the numbers that I ran this morning have them having played 36 minutes together total, which seems like not much at all. And it seems like it's too low, but that
it's really not much. I mean, that's a tiny sample size.
Yeah, it's not a lot at all. But when you look at the injuries that have forced Crowder and Smart and Horford to miss time, the fact that these guys haven't even played the equivalent of a full NBA game together. So that has to factor in all of this. But since we're here and we're talking about it, when you take Smart out and you put Amir Johnson in, they go from a minus 12 to a plus, what's the number here?
Plus 11, plus 2, I believe it is.
I think the total is a plus 25 that I saw. So they go from with
the starting lineup?
Yes. So it's Amir Johnson with Horford. Yes, the starting lineup is a plus 25 over 113 minutes.
Oh, yeah. So they're plus 11.2 per 100 possessions is what I meant.
Yeah.
So we're both
okay.
Right. We're always right. Both right.
It's just two different metrics. But yeah, so that lineup is their best lineup. That starting lineup is their best lineup, which makes it really interesting because Marcus Smart, when you put him in and you take Amir out and they go from a plus 25 to a minus 12. So is Marcus Smart really, I mean, he's not a minus 37 himself, but it's just interesting that going more traditional with a rebounder in there and that size, how that affects things for the Celtics. So it just kind of makes it brings up an issue of how Marcus Smart is being used and when he's being used and should he be used to close games.
Yeah, and these are all questions Stevens is going to have to figure out. And right now, I don't think he has, like you said, like he spends the first maybe half of the year kind of experimenting. And the process was set back a little bit this year because of all the injuries they've had. And so he's just kind of starting to figure this out. And at some point, he'll figure out his best lineups. And obviously, he knows the data that we're talking about. He knows all of this stuff. He is well aware of everything that's going on with his team. And at some point, he'll have to make decisions. Okay, this lineup hasn't worked. The three guards, whatever, hasn't worked. But until then, he's going to try to make it work. And I do think, like, it can work. But let's talk about something a little more positive. Let's talk about the offense, man. Because 20 games in, I am very confident in saying this is a very different offensive team than we saw last season. And so, some of the changes, I think, will really help in the playoffs. Like, in the playoffs, you play your starters more often. Well, the starters have been awesome. The starting lineup has been fantastic since day one. So that's great. In the playoffs, it's more half court. You're not going to force a ton of turnovers. Well, their half court offense has been much better. And they're sinking threes all of a sudden. And the floor is spaced. And they've really transformed into a top 10 offense without forcing nearly as many turnovers as they did last year, without getting nearly as many transition points. And so that really is a testament to how much they've changed in the half court and how much better they are. And I think that's Isaiah Thomas. He was an all-star last year. He's gotten better. Al Horford is a huge change from Jared Sullinger, from the fact that he can hit shots, he can penetrate, he moves the ball, he never makes bad decisions. And then everybody else, like Crowder, got a tick better from threes. And Avery Bradley got a tick better in mostly everything. So they've got a lot of guys. And then Marcus Smart is a much better passer, even though his shooting numbers haven't started to improve like anyone would want them to. So they've improved in all the right ways offensively. And I do think that when it comes to the playoffs, those are changes that are going to really matter. Because last year, if it wasn't transition, their offense stunk. I think they were 28th in half-court offense last year, which damn near the bottom of the league. That's like you're basically Philadelphia at that point. So it's a huge change now for them to be in the upper half of the league in that, and a top 10 offense, and raining threes every night. They've become a very good three-point shooting team, a top 10 three-point shooting team. So, and they're taking a ton of attempts. So it's a changed team. And I think like the ceiling is much higher, because if you can bring that defense back up, and if you can keep that offense there, and if you can force a few more turnovers, and if you can rebound just a few more times every night, then you know they've got a chance. They've got a chance to really, I think, start to come together and gel like everyone wants them to. Right now, it's been an uneven start. Like some ugly wins against bad teams. Who have they beaten? Like, how many good teams have they beaten? Not a lot.
And they got a lot of good teams
Chicago
coming up.
Without Horford was a really nice win.
Yeah. Well, but, I mean, let's look at their wins. They've beaten Charlotte, Chicago.
Another very good win.
Yep. Would you count the Pacers? They're not good.
Nope.
They beat Detroit in Detroit. They're okay. Their record's not great, but okay. they're not bad. Minnesota?
Nope. Not counting that one.
Okay. Miami's not good. No, that's it. They had like two good wins.
Well, I mean, some are mediocre wins, some aren't like bad wins, but yeah, like as far as beating top
meanwhile,
teams, not even top teams, but like teams that could host in the first round, two.
Right.
Two good wins.
Meanwhile, the rest of December includes the Rockets, the Raptors, the Thunder, Spurs, Hornets, Grizzlies, Thunder again, Grizzlies again, the Cavs at the end of the month.
It's time for this team to grow up, man.
Woo! All right. So, yeah, that's not great. So, I'm kind of curious about this because you brought up this thing. I'm very not sure where I stand on this. So the Celtics have become a pretty good half-court offense, which is good for when the playoffs come around.
Yep.
But is the fact that they've done so well in the half-court, does that take away from their urgency to get out in transition? Last year, the only way they could score was to be out in transition, which forced them to play great defense, which forced them to create turnovers, because that was literally the only way they could score. Now, they don't have to force turnovers. They don't have to do all that stuff. They can hit in transition. They can hit in the half court. They don't have to be a transition team. So we, as observers of the team, want them to be the transition team they were of last year, while also being the half court team of this year. But they, as players, sit there and say, we're a pretty good half court offense. Oh, phew. We don't have to force all these turnovers anymore. We can just kind of relax a little bit on defense, be good enough, and then go into our half court because we can hit threes and we can shoot our way to a few wins. So that adds to the intrigue of this team. I just wonder if being a better half court team now makes it less urgent to them to be a better defensive team. Like, they're just kind of going to relax on defense because they don't need to be the defensive team that they were in the past. While we sit here and we're like, you can be the defensive team that you were in the past. Why aren't you?
Yeah, and maybe that's part of it, but there should be urgency. There should be plenty of urgency. When you're almost losing to the Philadelphia 76ers, there should be urgency. And when you need Al Horford to go buck wild to hold off the Sacramento Kings, you should feel some urgency. And if they don't feel urgency now, maybe they'll feel it after they go into Houston and deal with James Harden, who has been absolutely ridiculous, and all the shooters around him. If you're not sharp against those guys, they will dissect you. So there should be urgency. That's bottom line is, and if there is urgency, and if they can start forcing turnovers, then all of a sudden you have a much improved team. But they need to start doing that first. And I do think the team in some ways is just different. And you have new faces. What we probably didn't spend enough time worrying about in the preseason was that the bench has a lot of new faces. Terry Rozier never played. Jaylen Brown, rookie. Gerald Green, clearly not like the level of player you want in your rotation every night. He hasn't.
Let me sum that up for you. Gerald Green is terrible. let's not dance around things. He's terrible.
He has not had a particularly good start. so they've got a lot of guys who are new to their scheme and new to things, and so it's a different feel than it was last year when really your bench was four guys in Marcus Smart, Kelly Olynyk, Jonas Jerebko, and Evan Turner, who had all been there for a year and who were all knew the schemes. They all were in sync with each other. So there's just a different feel now. It's not like you have all the guys that are back and they're working together. Now it's kind of like you have to build that all over again, and you have to bring Terry Rozier to the level that, you know, the disruptive level that Evan Turner was last year, even though he's not going to have the size and he's not going to be as good a rebounder. But you have to bring him to the level where he knows the schemes as well. And Jaylen Brown, same thing. Like, he needs to learn how to become a top NBA defender. Like there was that play against Philadelphia. He ended up making that unbelievable recovery and block.
Yeah.
Absolutely abused backdoor. And thanks only to his otherworldly athleticism was he able to make that play. So
I was sitting there looking at that from the opposite end where I was sitting. So I was on the other corner, the opposite corner, watching his guy, I forget who it was, just kind of stroll along the baseline with Jaylen having no idea what was going on. Completely lost sight of his guy. A complete defensive breakdown.
You know what? I'm going to go the other way. He was just baiting him, man.
Way to go with the positive spin on that one. I mean, that was, but to see him basically on the left block and then come over to the right block and just, I mean, that blocked shot was amazing, because to recognize by the time his guy caught the ball, get over, jump high enough, extend far enough to block that shot. That went from the absolute worst defensive play to the absolute best defensive play in a half second, which, I mean, that was really, it's a testament to his athletic ability, but you really could not, and I'm just confirming what you just said, you really could not have a worse defensive lapse. And then you could not have a more amazing defensive recovery. Like, if that was somebody else's guy, that would be on all of the highlights. And it might still be on the highlights, but just the fact that he can do that physically covers for a lot. But
he was just baiting him, man.
Just
playing the wrong con.
Oh, that's hilarious.
But yeah, so it's a new feel. It's a new feel. And obviously Horford lifts up your defense. And obviously since they've gotten healthy, they've been much better. But there's not that same top-to-bottom defensive in-syncness, which is not a word. But the synergy.
It is now.
Yeah, that in-syncness hashtag Rain and Jays. it hasn't been there. And they're working on it. They're getting better. They're, as in Forsberg's piece, as he pointed out, they're seventh in defensive rating since November 9th, which is fine, good. But they're doing it differently. They're not forcing as many turnovers. And I think Brad Stevens has said many times it comes from the four turnovers came from being in the right spot, and the lack of turnovers this year has been from not being in the same spot as often. So, and again, so they've I think this team will build. You know, I think Jaylen Brown will get better. I think Brad Stevens will figure out how to use him, and maybe that's moving him to the two more often in super big lineups. Maybe that's using him some other way, but Brad Stevens will figure out these lineups, and his rotation will get better as the season goes on. And I think the Celtics will continue to improve as the season goes on. And like I said, that starting lineup, that 3-point percentage, that bodes really well come the playoffs. And obviously you got to get there. They still haven't won a playoff series under Stevens, but right now they're third place in the Eastern Conference. And they still have, like I said, I think they still have another level to get to. There's still improvement that they will make from now until the rest of the season, even if they don't make a trade over the next couple of months. I had to throw out the trade talk just a little bit.
Of course.
Just to get the people excited, you know, just to get that blood flowing a little bit, just to get after DeMarcus Cousins came the other night, everybody
holy
was
shit.
Hyped up a little bit, loving that Boogie Cousins talk.
The swings
are so funny. The swings are so funny. Like in the second quarter of the Philadelphia 76ers game, Celtics were down like 12. I got people tweeting me, I hate this team. I'm just not interested in watching this team. Like, oh man, everything this team was is not the same anymore. You got people like trade Avery Bradley, trade Isaiah Thomas, like chill out, guys.
Jesus
please,
Christ.
Just let them come back. Let them win. Let them be on pace right now for a 49-win season, despite having some of the worst injury luck over the first month. Like, there are a lot of good things going on. It's just people want them to be that team that forces all the turnovers and gets out in transition and has all that energy, and that hasn't always been the case. And I don't think it's the fact that they're not playing hard. They are playing hard. It's just they're not as connected, and they're not the same team they were last year. So I think it's been hard for people to grasp that the same players, a lot of the same players, are not playing as well as a unit. And part of it is the new lineups. Part of it is whatever else. But people are on edge. Celtics fans are on serious edge. If they get blasted by the Rockets, I don't know what Twitter's going to do.
Oh,
it's
going to
be a bad time.
I want to launch a new feature on Celtics in syncness where it's basically judged on Justin Timberlake's, you know, early in sync hair, the curly blonde hair to
okay,
like,
see you know too much about Justin Timberlake. Like it was cool when I just said in syncness and you came with like the Justin Timberlake comment. But then you started talking about like his hairstyles, like this hairstyle,
come on.
That hairstyle. That
you
much,
had
man.
You didn't watch TV back in the NSYNC days where Justin Timberlake had like the little curly ramen hair.
I guess I just don't remember the Justin Timberlake days as well as you do.
Jesus, man, I want to do some sort of NSYNC. Maybe we go with the Joey Fatone level or something like that.
I don't even know who that is.
You don't lie to me. Don't lie.
I have no clue. I assume
everybody knows Joey Fatone.
I assume he's in sync.
Knew him because his name spells out Fat One, and his name is Joey Fatone. Come on. You knew that one.
I mean.
Everybody knows three in sync guys. Justin Timberlake, Joey Fat One, and Lance Bass because he came out and he was gay. And everybody was like, yeah. Those are the three guys. And then there's two other guys that we don't know.
I didn't know any of the other guys besides Timberlake. I didn't know Lance Bass came out as gay because I didn't know who Lance Bass was. So your NSYNC knowledge is just a little better than mine, man.
That's all right. I'm comfortable with that.
I was more of a Boys to Men guy.
If we're being real, it's basically I was like a Jodeci guy, but now we're going way back. I think Jodeci came out when you were like
four. The road.
I'm gonna stop
singing now.
Just don't. What the fuck are we even talking about anymore? Oh God,
I don't even remember the Celtics.
We have gone way off the rails. I just wanted some sort of in syncness level, and then we just went completely out of here. So, all right. The Celtics play the Rockets. Thankfully, they've got an Orlando game mixed in. This can be a tough stretch. This is going to be a tough stretch. The Rockets, here's the thing. The Celtics have this weird way.
And it's not as playing tough a stretch, up. I think, as it looks like. Like, you look at the Thunder and you think Kevin Durant's not there. They're beatable, even in Oklahoma City. Then, like, Miami, no good. Memphis, no good. Pacers, mediocre. So, like, the stretch – but, I mean, obviously you play the Spurs, the Raptors, the Rockets. There are some tough games coming up, but I don't think it's as tough as it looks on first glance.
Well, yeah, but there's – I mean, they have – the Rockets are tough, but they can be beaten. Of course, they could still survive this, but – we're looking at this from the perspective of barely beating the Kings, barely beating the Sixers, lost to the Pistons. No real big win in any of these. Even Brooklyn came back in their game. So, but look, the Celtics are prone to playing down. Maybe they'll go to Houston and play up, and maybe Marcus Smart will get into James Harden's jock and do well, but I don't know. I also feel like James Harden can shoot 25 free throws in this game, so it's hard to say what's going to happen. But this is going to be a tough one. The Celtics are 12-8. They are two games out of first place in the East. They have one less win than the Cavs. Two fewer than the Raptors, but they're also two games out from the worst, that being out of the playoffs. So it's anything can happen.
The Eastern
so,
Conference is crazy again.
It's a little bit nuts. It's a little bit nuts. So I guess when we asked the question at the beginning of the show, who are these guys? We just don't know. We don't know if these guys are going to become the defensive force that we thought they were going to be, because as I was saying earlier, it's possible that they feel like they might not have to be. And no matter how much Brad Stevens and their staff emphasizes the need to be great defensively, if those guys are out there thinking, I can take a playoff or I don't have to be as good, and we can just shoot our way back into games or shoot our way into big leads, then maybe that's just not who this team is going to be anymore.
I don't think it has to do with desire, though. Like, those guys play their balls off. Those guys, you're never going to need to ask Jay Crowder, Marcus Smart, Isaiah Thomas, Avery Bradley to play harder. Al Horford, same thing. They just have to. Right now, size is killing them. They're getting crushed on the boards. And they haven't been in the right position often enough. So they need to fix some of that stuff. They need to clean it up. And if they do, this team could be very, very good. And if they don't, then they'll be above average, but not quite as good as we had hoped they would be.
Let's get this out of the way. I really need this question answered. How much do the Celtics really miss Evan Turner? Let's just answer this question, because this is kind of lingering and I keep hearing Evan Turner's name mentioned here and there. And from a year ago, 365 days ago, where I was sitting here ready to murder Evan Turner myself, I'm sitting here today thinking his departure And as much as he's been kind of struggling to find his place in Portland, his departure has really, really hurt this team. The lineups with Evan Turner and what he was able to do with his size, especially defensively, and his rebounding and his playmaking, they don't have that. And that one little ingredient is missing. And that's a big problem for these guys.
I think the thing you miss with him most is his defensive reliability. The fact that he could guard ones, twos, and threes. And the fact that there's this drop-off from him to Jaylen Brown, who is now their backup wing with size. And I think that's the biggest area where they miss Evan Turner, is that Brad Stevens no longer has a big backup wing that he trusts. It's obvious that Jaylen Brown has potential and could become a very good player one day. Right now, he has a lot of flaws, and Stevens has not learned how to trust him. And he has, not that he hasn't learned how to trust him, he hasn't earned Stevens' trust. So I think, you know, now every lineup is downsized because you don't have, or a lot of lineups are downsized just because you don't have that 6'7 wing who can handle the ball. And you don't have that 6'7. Sometimes he played point guard, and they went with him and Smart at the 1 and 2, and they could be huge. They could be huge when they did that. So at least on the perimeter. So they don't have those options anymore. And I think that's hurt them on the glass. It's hurt them defensively. And their offense has been fine. Their offense has been very good. They don't necessarily miss his playmaking. They haven't had as many droughts without Isaiah Thomas. They've staggered Isaiah Thomas and Al Horford. So when Isaiah Thomas isn't out there, they just run the offense through Al Horford and everything is cool and fine and dandy. And they don't necessarily miss Evan Turner ball handling. But that size and that versatility, that's what they miss. And that's what I think this team is lacking right now, as well as a big, intimidating force down low.
Well, these guys have a lot of work to do. And that's just the bottom line. 20 games into the season at 12-8 and 2 games out of first, but 2 games out of eighth, they still have a lot of work to do. So I guess shrug emoji. Are we back to shrug emoji?
We can shrug emoji, or
we can shrug emojis.
InSyncness. We can just
InSyncness.
Instruct them to work on their InSyncness.
Hey, if you guys can figure out the InSyncness of this team, support me. Hashtag Raina Jays on Twitter. Just back me up a little bit. Please back me up a little bit. Or maybe we can come up with some sort of fun InSync measuring tool for this team.
Yeah, go get Jerry Fat One, baby.
You didn't even come close. All right. That's it. That's the show. Close enough. We're done. I'm cutting you off. That's the show. Be sure to go to MacWeldon.com. If you're doing your holiday shopping, go MacWeldon.com. Use the promo code LOCELTICS for 20% off on top of all of the other great discounts that they get you. The shopping experience there is easy. Their customer service is fantastic. If you're not happy with your purchase, you can ask for a refund. Keep the product. No questions asked. Great lineup of products over there. Jay and I wear it. And it's good stuff. Also, check out the Locked On Podcast Network. If you want to check out Locked On Rockets, Locked On Magic, great shows coming up. You want to check out what the competition is saying, what they're talking about themselves, talking about us, do that. Locked On NBA has some great contact. Locked On great content. Locked On Fantasy has some great stuff. A daily assessment of who's doing well, who you should start, who you should sit. If you want to, you know, get an inside track in your fantasy leagues, do that. Of course, subscribe to us wherever you get your podcasts, Google Play, iTunes, Stitcher, the TuneIn app, everywhere you get your podcasts, or you go to our Audioboom page, grab the RSS feed, take that, plug it into your Podcatcher app. Anything that gets podcast, plug that in. You can subscribe to us, get it directly to your phone. Once we post this, We are daily Monday through Friday, but we record Sunday through Thursday nights. So if you really want to be cool and get us early, subscribe to us. It'll come to your phone Sunday through Thursday night. And then this way on Monday through Friday, you can talk to your friends, your coworkers, and get the jump. And you can sound smart by repeating what we say, because we're smart. And we're the Locked On Celtics podcast. That we got great in syncness with the Locked On Podcast Network. See you next time.
Is that the new iPhone?
Yeah, got it on T-Mobile. Fastest iPhone deserves America's fastest LTE network.
Introducing the amazing iPhone 8. It's the best iPhone yet, now on America's best unlimited network. For a limited time, save up to $300 on the amazing iPhone 8 after 24 monthly bill credits. And now join T-Mobile's iPhone upgrade program for free.
Eligible trade-in and finance agreement required. If you cancel service, you may lose promo credits. Contact us for details. Video at 480p. Small fraction of users over 50 gigs per month may have reduced speed. See store for details.